The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with the Butler. Paging playoff Jimmy. Do the Heat need a signature night from their biggest star? Plus, the Joker's wild. Jokic forming a place with the all-time greats. Could he be the best center the NBA has ever seen? And what's cooking with Dalvin? Is he the missing ingredient that could turn an AFC contender into a Super Bowl favorite? Hey, look, it's Friday. I'm happy this is your favorite morning show.
Let's go, baby. Let's
Good
go.
Morning.
Let's get up. Let's
Welcome
get up.
To Get Up. I'm Brian Custer in for Greeny. Look who we got here at the Seaport. We got Dan Graziano with me. We got Alan Hahn with me. And in Miami, we got Monica McNutt. We got Brian Windhorst. RC, Ryan Clark is going to join us as well. We're going to talk NBA Finals. We got some football, but let's get to the game of the night. It's Game 3 Stanley Cup Finals. Panthers. Golden Knights, of course, down 2-0 in this series. Look who was in the house. It was Tua. Let's get right to the jump. Look, you know, Matthew Tkachuk has been trucking people, but boy, he got his clock cleaned.
Freight train looked up to check the license plate, had to go to the locker room to get checked, but did come back into the game.
And he played dividends in big dividends in the second period. Jack Eichel almost loses his balance, then finds Jonathan Marchessault, and look. That guy's been a flamethrower in this postseason.
Get this pass, feathers it right through and up in the toy department, like my man Butch Goring would say.
13th of the postseason for Marchessault. So we get to the third. Panthers, empty net, and Carter Van Hagee. His shot is stopped, but there's Tkachuk burying in the rebound just like that. Hey, look, the Panthers tied this thing up at 2.
Right there. Look at this. Just tap it in.
All right, so we go up in overtime looking for the game winner. Here's Doug Plagans with the call.
Bennett up the near side, looks across Verhage, high slot shot, he scores! Carter Verhage, the overtime winner here in Game 3! The Panthers take it 3-2 the final!
Verhage does it. Panthers win this thing 3-2. That's their first ever Stanley Cup final win in franchise history. Verhage's second playoff OT winner this postseason. Hey, Panthers trail this series now 2-1, and the Panthers, they were basically 2 minutes from falling down 3-0. But once again, they scraped through in overtime. They are a perfect 7-0 in OT this postseason and overall have won 10 consecutive overtime games. That is the second longest streak in postseason history. All right, let's stay in South Florida, where after a day off, the NBA Finals resume tonight, Game 4, the Nuggets. Well, they've been all the talk since Wednesday after Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray each dropped a 30-point triple-double, became the first teammates in NBA history to do so in the same game. For Miami, they have lived and died by the three in this series. In their Game 2 win, Heat shot 49% from deep. But in the two losses, they combined to shoot 32%. And Jimmy Butler has not been, well, let's say not playoff Jimmy recently. He's increased his scoring in each finals game, but hasn't had a 30-point game since Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Jimmy Buckets, though, he ain't worried.
I wouldn't change anything, not one thing. I continue to be who I am. We will continue to be who we are as a group, as a team. We're going to go out here and we're going to compete together. We're going to win together, and we're going to be who we are. I wouldn't change a thing, though.
So you hear Jimmy says he wouldn't change a thing. Does something need to change out of Jimmy Butler if they're going to even up this series?
Yeah, I mean, well, change maybe, but it's just Jimmy Butler has been a Jimmy Buckets or playoff Jimmy denier. He needs to be a Jimmy Buckets, Jimmy playoff Jimmy truther because they need him. Stars step up in these big moments. We saw it in Game 3 when Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray stepped up for the Denver Nuggets and showed out in Game 3. If Miami has a chance in this series, if Miami wants to have a chance in this series, they're going to need playoff Jimmy, and they're going to need him in Game 4. He might not like it. He might not even be able to do it, but he's got to conjure up somehow, some way, a performance that keeps this series alive for Miami.
Hey, you know, Wendy, what challenges has the Nuggets defense posed for Jimmy Butler?
Brian, it's just the length. They've got so much size on the interior. Jimmy Butler has had trouble finding space. And look, he altered his personal game plan in game three. He really, really tried to get in there and attack on the interior, and he just couldn't get space. He's only shooting 42% over his last 10 games. But against the Celtics, he was really able to get to the line. He averaged 8 free throws a game in that series. He's only got 11 free throws in the first 3 games in this series. So one of the things about Jimmy is he's always been able to manufacture scoring, but Denver basically starts 3 guys 6'10 or taller, and he's having trouble getting clear airspace when he gets in around the basket.
You know, Monica, when you look at what Butler did, especially in the first 3 rounds of the playoffs, so many people are asking, man, why have we not seen that Jimmy Butler in the finals? Has he been a disappointment thus far in the finals, in your opinion?
I wouldn't say that, BC, and I know Han opened his statement with the playoff Jimmy needs to be a real thing. I understand we're all looking for him to be a scorer, but he's never really been a volume guy. And so when he says that from the dais, I do buy it in terms of him being a playmaker. And he's not a guy that really forces the issue as far as scoring. Yes, I think he is probably the easiest way to fill in the missing piece in terms of why the Heat are down currently in this series. But I also am not ready to put it past this Miami squad that somebody else is capable of going off. And of course, we know how significant the 3-point shooting has been in their wins and losses. And so I think it's just not in Jimmy's nature to force the issue. Part of what he says in terms of giving the rest of his teammates confidence, has to be backed up by his actions. And so he's going to be a willing passer and playmaker as well.
Every time you have doubted the Miami Heat, they seem to have responded. They're at home. What are the chances that you give the Heat evening up the series?
Very little.
Really?
Yeah, the very little chance. And again, if we're relying now on Max Strus and Gabe Vincent to save you in the NBA Finals, I mean, how far are we going to take this Cinderella story? It is going to still take the stars. It's going to take Bam Adebayo, who's had a terrific final so far. But it's going to take Jimmy Butler, bad ankle or not. He still did take a high volume of shots in game 3, so he is willing to do that when he knows that's what my team needs, and that's what the team needs right now. So if we don't see playoff Jimmy in game 4, I give Miami very little chance to win this game.
Monica, what do you think?
My thoughts exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
There really isn't much to say.
Exactly. Wendy, what do you think now? It seems like the Heat are at their best when people think that they're down and out. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I will say they've lost their last 3 playoff home games. They lost 2 in a row to the Celtics down here in the conference finals, and they lost, obviously, game 3. They're averaging 10 fewer points in this series than they did against the Celtics. It's a slower pace series. That's part of the reason. So I don't know if you take away from that they're in a slump that they're due to break out of, or that they're kind of running out of gas. I really do not want to be the guy that gets on the wrong side of thinking the Heat are done, because they have repeatedly rallied back. And as you mentioned, Brian, the 3-point shot is such an equalizer. I wish I could sit here and present you 5 or 6 different reasons, you know, schematically, that the Heat will come out and do something. But really, the 3-point shot falling is what they need. They have a whole ton of volume 3-point shooters. They're going to try to get them up. If they make them, they could take this back 2-2. If they don't, their margin for error against the Nuggets is really almost non-existent.
Monica, I'll give you the final word.
Well, it seems like they've been able to respond from behind the 3-point line when they need it, obviously, to get to this point. So I don't think that that's an insult to simplify it. I shouldn't say down, but to simplify it to that 3-point shooting. I think they know that, Wendy. And so I'm just not ready to count this squad out. I'm just not. They're still at home. They're gritty. They live in places where they're uncomfortable, whether it be in the fourth quarter or down in a series. So I'm not ready to count them out. But I do think the Cinderella story, to your example, Han, like, this could come down to talent at the end of this thing, as much as folks admire Heat culture.
Yeah, that's why I have that take, is essentially because sooner or later, and I've had coaches and scouts I've been talking to throughout the playoffs about Miami, and all of them keep saying eventually talent is going to have to win out and beat this team. It is remarkable what the Heat have done to this point, but at this level of the finals now, with what Denver showed us in game 3, you know, it's going to take a lot. And that three-point shooting, what Wendy said, is 100% accurate. It's when they shoot over 40%, they win. When they shoot 35 or lower, they lose.
Well, listen, we're going to talk a lot more about the NBA Finals in this show, but let's talk about what they're chasing. Championship. Game two, Women's College World Series. Oklahoma, Florida State. Oklahoma took game one. This is the bottom of the third. Kaylee Harding at the plate. Two runners on, and Harding drives this one deep. But watch Jada Coleman. Go get it, young lady. At the wall. Look at this catch.
Unfair. We've seen this before now. I believe yesterday we saw, like 2 days ago, we saw one stealing a home run. That was a key steal, by the way, in this game.
Let's get right to the fifth because Oklahoma's down 1-0. It's Sydney Sanders at the plate, and Sanders going opposite field. And Oklahoma ties this game up at one. Now, the next batter is Grace Lyons. It's a 1-2 count.
Not the same pitch.
Yep, gone. Drives this one into left. Another solo home run. She fired up. Catherine Zandercock couldn't believe it. It's back-to-back home run. Sooners up 2-1. We get to the seventh, bottom of the seventh. Florida State down 3-1. Two outs, last chance. Katie Dack at the plate facing Jordy Ball, and she goes down swinging. Ball, and the Sooners celebrate. Oklahoma wins this thing 3-1. They win their third consecutive national championship. Here's Holly Rowe with head coach Patty Gasso.
Right now, what you feel, Holly, is from us is freedom, because it was absolutely suffocating as we're going along, and the expectations are overwhelming. But they handled it like champions, and that's why we're here right now.
Oh, they more than handled the pressure this season. They went a ridiculous 61-1 this season, the best record all time in Division I softball. And they weren't just like scraping by, outscored their opponents by 442 runs. Ooh. And of course, we're going to have much more later in the show. Jessica Mendoza, by the way, who was live on site there to witness everything. And of course, that Sooners historic title, she's going to join us here on Get Up as well. But coming up, the Joker, Wild, Jokic forging a place with the all-time greats. Could he be the best center the NBA has ever seen? We'll discuss. Plus, what's cooking with Dalvin? Is he the missing ingredient that could turn an AFC contender into a Super Bowl favorite? It's Get Up here on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meet nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Hey, it's Friday, and welcome to Get Up into the NFL. Let's play a little game of fact and or fiction. Ryan Clark joins us. RC, Chiefs should be all in on adding D-Hop. Is that fact or fiction?
Listen, that's fiction. No, I'm not saying that DeAndre Hopkins couldn't help the Chiefs and along with Travis Kelce give them two of the best pass catchers in the entire NFL. But we've seen Patrick Mahomes work magic without having number one guys on the outside. It seems they believe in Kadarius Toney. Sky Moore is going into his second year, and we understand that this defense will be better as well. They don't have to go all in, but my goodness, they'd be great if they got him.
Yeah, last time I checked, they won a Super Bowl without the number one. Groz, Bryce Young will lead the Panthers to the playoffs. That fact or fiction?
I'm going to go with fact. I mean, look, the rules say the NFC is going to have seven playoff teams this year and that the NFC South is going to have a champion. You feel good about predicting who that's going to be right now? Bryce Young seems like as good a bet as anybody in that division to lead his team to the playoffs. I think that's a better team than the number one pick usually plays on. Remember, they traded up from number nine to number one to get him. They have a veteran coaching staff. I think Carolina's planning on being a contending team this year. And if Young is who they think he is, I think they can be.
Already been elevated to taking first reps. RC, Vikings made a mistake releasing Dalvin Cook. Is that fact or fiction?
I believe that's fiction. And don't get me wrong, Dalvin Cook has shown he can be durable the last 4 years, over 1,100 yards per year, and he's averaging 4.67 yards a carry. But when we watch what this team is doing and the way that they're morphing, having to pay Justin Jefferson a boatload of money because he's earning, you go get Jordan Addison from USC, I think that they're moving in a different direction in the run game and believe that someone like Alexander Mattison can do some of the things that Dalvin Cook did, especially when they're going to want to spread people out.
Hey, take a look at this. Now that he's on the market, our Adam Schefter tweeted this. Miami Dolphins, Denver Broncos, just two of the teams that are expected to have an interest in signing Dalvin Cook once he's officially released. Per his sources, there'll likely be others, but those two have been monitoring Cook for weeks. Now, Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel was asked yesterday about Cook coming to Miami. Here's his response.
March 3rd, 1983. That day I was born, right? Now we take a closer look at that date, and that, in fact, was not yesterday. Okay, so people that are rumored to be tall, short, people that are rumored to be, you're not going to get this guy. I'm year two, okay?
ARC, some of us just say, hey, look, man, I was born at night, not last night. But he took it to a whole new level with that response.
Stretched it out.
This is why I love Mike McDaniel, though. He just makes things hard without even trying to make them difficult. He was just trying to tell y'all I wasn't born yesterday. And I don't care what they're saying about Dalvin Cook. If I can't say something publicly or if he's not on my team, y'all ain't finna get me to say nothing. He said, I'm in my second year now. I'm not that old stupid rookie coach I used to be just 365 days ago. But I love Mike McDaniel. He keeps it fun. I'm sure that everyone in Miami can't wait to some of these pressers so they get an opportunity to get kind of in a conundrum of wordplay by the Miami Dolphins head coach.
He's the coach of a team that lost its first round draft pick this year for tampering charges with regard to Tom Brady. So I'm sure before he went out there, they said, you can't say anything right at all about anybody on anybody else's team.
I love it. I love it. So would adding Cook, though, put the Dolphins, let's say, in that tier of elite AFC squads. I'm talking about the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Bills. What do you think, RC?
I think it puts them right behind some of those teams. When you add a Dalvin Cook to a Mike McDaniel offense that loves to run the football, they're a one-cut offense, and Dalvin Cook is a guy that can hit the home run, also get the tough yards, and be involved in the pass game. And now you move Tua Tagovailoa to play-action passes with that track team that the Miami Dolphins has. You expect that offense to be explosive, and defensively, you go out and you add Jalen Ramsey. You have two of the best cornerbacks in the entire league, but it's about Tua Tagovailoa's health. Can Tua Tagovailoa's health make him durable throughout the year? Can he finish better than he finished last year with some of the lingering effects of those concussions? And now you think about the Kansas Cities, the Bengals, the Baltimore Ravens, all of these teams that have quarterbacks that not only are proven, but we've seen get it done down the stretch. This would be a huge get for the Miami Dolphins, but not one, I think, that puts them on that top tier immediately.
What do you think, Ross?
Yeah, the bigger issues for the Dolphins are Tua's health and the improvement that they expect to make on defense under Vic Fangio, the new defensive coordinator. I believe Mike McDaniel would have a nice plan. I'm sure he hasn't even thought about it yet, but I think he would have a nice plan for incorporating Dalvin Cook into that offense, and I think there are ways he can help. I just don't see him at this point as like that. That's the piece that puts you over the top. I think the Dolphins are kind of right there, and there are other factors that will determine how elite they are.
So which team, in your opinion, Graz, poses then the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC?
I got to stick with the Bengals. I mean, that's the team that knocked them out in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago and played them in the AFC Championship game again last year. Burrow, I believe, is 4-1 in his career against the Chiefs. So I think they still, until somebody else looks like they can go toe-to-toe with them and knock them off the way the Bengals have, I think it's got to be them.
RC?
I'm going to play a little off-season optimist for the Baltimore Ravens. I agree with everything Graziano said about the Cincinnati Bengals, and that's the thought that makes sense. But look at what the Baltimore defense did going late into this season. You almost go to Cincinnati and beat the Cincinnati Bengals without Lamar Jackson in the playoffs. Now Lamar Jackson has OBJ. You're hoping that Rashad Bateman is healthy. You go out and get Zay Flowers. We know what Mark Andrews is at the tight end position and a run game that is going to be difficult to stop, especially with the healthy Lamar Jackson. You add Todd Monken as the offensive coordinator, and you can now have an explosive pass game that's pass first, and then you have to stop the run being spread out all over that field. Mike McDonald found a way to get this defense to play better down the stretch as well. If everything clicks for the Baltimore Ravens, it's going to be the scariest offense to play in the entire AFC, and to me, that includes the Kansas City Chiefs. And if they can play offense at that level and continue to scare you and Roquan Smith-led defense plays the way it played down the stretch, they're going to be extremely tough to beat. And I believe the Baltimore Ravens, as the Kansas City Chiefs got last year, are tired of hearing about the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow.
Yeah, you're right about that. All of that sounds great. I'm with you, though, Graz. I think this is probably the last year you can keep all of those guys in Cincinnati, so we'll
see
what happens.
How you going to say all of that sounds great?
I know, I'm just saying. Come on, Fred. I love you, but I got to go with Graz. Let's do a game of slump or jump. Oh, you're slumping. RC, will Russell Wilson slump or jump next season?
He gonna jump, because ain't no way he can slump. There's nowhere else down for Russell Wilson to go. You go and you add Sean Payton. You're looking to make an offense work on time. Let's get the football out of Russell Wilson's hand. Make it quick. We can't have 55 sacks. I expect a jump from Russell Wilson.
Graz, how about Jared Goff? Will he slump or jump next season?
I'm going to say jump because I wasn't presented with the choice of I think it'll be the same as he was last year. But that's good. Jared Goff was excellent for the Lions last year, especially in the second half of the season. And I believe this is a team that is ascending, and I think that Jared Goff has a lot to do with that. So as the Lions make a jump this year, I think we'll say that the quarterback did too, even if it's just a matter of people noticing what he was doing last year.
Okay, RC, how about Derek Carr? Is he going to slump or jump in New Orleans?
You know what? I'm going to say jump because it seems like the last two head coaches that Derek Carr had in Las Vegas just absolutely hated him. John Gruden didn't seem to like him. Josh McDaniels didn't seem to like him. Hopefully when he went on his free agent tour, he sat with Dennis Allen in New Orleans and said, wait, this guy actually likes me. He likes me. Maybe he had a little Sally Field moment and he's going to be empowered to be the Derek Carr we saw in the MVP conversation a few years ago before he was injured.
Oh, I love it. I love it. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. All right, coming up, how about back to basketball? And that superpower that makes Nikola Jokic unstoppable. Is he destined to be the best center we've ever seen? Plus, what will it take for Dak Prescott to silence those doubters? Is this a make-or-break season for the Cowboys star? We'll talk about it as Get Up continues.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
You know, this is the finals. Time to go back to the 305.
Puts up the three. Oh, it's gone! Oh, spin move. Unstoppable here.
Jimmy freaking Butler puts it in!
Hey, welcome back to Get Up. You know, this series and this playoff has been all about Nikola Jokic. Had his first 30-20-10 game in the finals in history on Wednesday. He's on pace to be the first player ever to lead all players in points, assists, and scoring for a full postseason. He's also becoming one of the all-time greats. And our own Jay Will thinks he's Ali. He could be the greatest.
I'm going to go with the one player that I think, frankly, before it's all said and done, he will be the best center to ever play the game of basketball. There you go. I've said it. It's Nikola Jokic.
I mean, and then you go, why drop that on First Take? You're supposed to drop that here.
I'm on 9 different shows. I don't know what you want from me, BC. I'm trying to be everywhere.
He also wears a tie on First Take. Yeah, right? See? You know, it gets nice and clean.
I've been up since 3 a.m. This is more casual.
Okay. So, Jay Will.
That's hour 13. This is hour 2. Okay, Alan?
So, you're saying Jokic over Bill Russell, Wilt, Kareem, Shaq.
Right. Yep.
Explain it. Explain.
I think he will be the most offensively skilled big, the best there is before it's all said and done. I firmly believe that. You tell me all the numbers are going to start to skew in that direction. If he doesn't get injured, which he's been a person that continues to work and show up, right, due to lack of injuries, the numbers are going to speak for themselves. He's the only player in NBA history to lead the NBA postseason in points, rebounds, and assists. And I don't see his game slowing down anytime soon. Because he's such an elite passer. It makes him such a unique weapon. Like, I'm not saying that his game is going to be as dominant as Shaq, dominating you in a block. I'm not saying he's going to win as many championships as, you know, Bill Russell. I'm not saying that he's going to have the most unstoppable shot in the game of basketball history, like Kareem. But the entire package, look where the numbers are skewing. It will end up that way.
But, you know, when Shaq had that three-peat, he was putting up the same numbers as Jokic. I mean, he was putting up 30 and 14. Now, didn't have the assists. But
that's what I'm saying.
He had the points, he had the rebound, and he had the blocks. And what
was
I'm
not saying that Jokic was the greatest defender. Once again, I'm saying offensive skill set, what he has to the table.
All right, think so about the one thing. You're qualifying what you said then.
Yes.
Because what you said in the clip will end up being the greatest center of all time. That's all inclusive now, right? Okay. Now you're saying offensive center. And that
originally that's what I said in the show.
That you can
and then that was the second
for.
Part of the segment that obviously got clipped off.
So this is
and then that turned into like, oh, now he's the best.
I originally stated
that he would be the best offensively skilled center the game of basketball has ever really seen.
I can't believe we missed Jay Will on our own network.
And then there was another
network.
Segment after that where I said, yes, he would be the best. And then that's what it turned into.
Well, look, if you go by just...
You know how you get got here. That's what happens.
That's why we brought you in.
Yeah. So, yeah. This was a setup. I came in, I said, what
Everybody
are we
Everybody should know, Jay asked us, what are we talking about? And we just said, oh, you'll find out.
Yeah, find out.
So I guess my question, Monica, I see you sipping that tea. Is Jay Will McNuts?
You know, BC, Jay, I don't think that you're McNuts. I think that people got to understand that this is a projection, a forecast, right? Because I can already tell my boy Alan Hahn is ready to get on you and say that he disagrees. But when you look at the totality and the way that he impacts the game, this era of basketball, which I know we could sit and argue endlessly about errors and who did what during what course of time, those are three major categories, y'all. And like, clearly, the ability to stop him is something that shouldn't be taken for granted, because every team in the league has had to figure out how, and not many have been able to come up with the way to do it consistently. So I think Jay's on to something.
Wendy, gotta get your perspective on this. What do you think?
Okay, Eminem, I see you. We on the same.
Well, the combination of scoring efficiency and passing, I mean, that's the thing. You know, we've seen centers who essentially can't be stopped. Shaq in his prime was untouchable. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Bill Russell was maybe the greatest defensive player of all time. But when you look at the ability of the offensive talent with that passing, that is just, that is the potential for a type of player we've never seen before. And the reason I'm going to sit here and say, you can't say that now, but I'm not going to dismiss what Jay Will is saying, is that I don't see age affecting Jokic. I don't think his game will age. I think it will be there for a long time. And that's going to be the key on, whenever you talk about legacy, you're talking about standing the test of time. This is his first finals. He's won two finals games. I'm not giving him anything, but I could see a way that Jokic has becomes a rock and is back here year after year because of his body size and the way he plays is not physically, you know, if he can't jump or if he can't run fast as he slows down as he ages, it's not going to affect that incredible skill.
He can't jump or run fast now. That's what he's doing.
Right. No, I'm glad Wendy, I was going to follow
Unless
up Wendy
he gets
and say,
slower.
Tell us why. Right. Tell us why you think this can last, because again, he doesn't have that athleticism that can break down and then it takes away from his game. Jay. Number one in NBA history in player efficiency rating, PER, which is really how you rate a great player. Mm-hmm. Number one is the all-time great, Michael Jordan. You know who number two is?
Who? Green?
Nikola Jokic.
Really? Oh.
He's already climbed to number two, ahead of LeBron James. Mm. So that makes a case for you in where he's trending, right? Where he's already. See, I put a lot into player efficiency rating because that really does tell the whole story about what kind of player and what kind of impact you have on the game and how you play the game. But let's also look at what you have to look at going forward. And I agree with Wendy, which is, again, why you can make the case. And the key phrase in what you said, the key word is could. He could. But he's got to get there, of course. And it starts with one championship. By the age of 28, Kareem already won one championship. But over 30 is where he won the rest of them. That's the other thing. He's 28 years old, Jokic is. So the durability factor, all-time greats, all of them, all the legends, durability is one of their best assets. They play. It's 10-plus years, all of them. And so Jokic is now at 5. Because 5 years as an all-star, five-time all-NBA, now he's in his first finals. So it starts here, but it's where it goes from here, and of course the team around him that is going to tell this story, not just what he's doing individually.
See, I just want to redefine something because I think it changes the conversation, right? Okay. When we say he's not athletic, what are we talking about? Are we only comparing him to, like, the Sky Athletics of Michael Jordan or, like, Zach LaVine?
No, you're talking centers.
Just let me redefine it for you. Is hand-eye quickness considered part of being athletic?
Absolutely.
Is footwork or angles of attacking the basket being part of defining athletic? There are other definitions of athletic than just being a guy who has a 45-inch vertical. So I think we need to start talking about the attributes that he's great at doing, because it feels like that's the one thing that people hang on.
Yeah.
And that gets used against him. I'm like, actually, this elevates him.
But this, now, can we be also, it's got to be fair to say this. Kareem went up against legends, big men. There was a big men era. So who Kareem had to deal with, dragging, you know, Walton and Lanier up and down the court,
Shaq
48
well.
Minutes,
Shaq
line
well.
From airplane.
Shaq.
But you're just talking about that era. Okay, that era, he had legends that he had to face night in, night out. Who is Jokic going up against other than Embiid and Anthony Davis?
Let me ask you a question.
Who else he dealing with?
Let me ask you a question.
That's not his fault.
It's hard. Go ahead. Go ahead, Monica.
Oh, it's not his fault, but it's still.
Well, just really quickly, I knew. Yeah, but I understand what you're saying, but I think the fact that the game is changing shouldn't be held against him. Like, in the era in which he's playing, whether you still see traditional bigs or not, what he's doing is historic and allows us to begin to have this conversation. So I just don't think his counterparts should be held against him.
And I think if you're a guy like, let's say, Shaquille O'Neal, you're probably going to say, there were teams loading up with centers throwing at me. Oh, yeah. That may be right. And yet he still played 20 years.
But you don't always want to use it against. So that if Shaq was playing in today's game, would Shaq have put on more weight? Would his skill set be ultimately different? The game has evolved. I can only talk about where Nikola Jokic is now and what he's doing now.
And where he's going.
Yeah, I can't put him back in 25 years ago and say, if you were to go against these guys, because his passing, I think, would still be, if he would have the skill set back then, it would be different.
But nobody's questioning that. And to Monica, this is not taking away from Jokic, but I don't want to take away from what Kareem did. So I'm not taking away from Jokic. I'm also making sure we understand the greatness of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and what he was in an era where that position was like what the point guard is now. And Jokic is playing a hybrid that we've never seen before.
I agree.
That he took what Sabonis brought to the NBA as an older player back in the day, Arvydas Sabonis.
Again,
what he brought to the league, Jokic has taken it and perfected it.
Let me tell you what, this is a fascinating conversation. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more in the show. But first, we got to run the bases. And from the Guardians, Jose Ramirez hit three home runs in his first three at-bats last night against Boston. Ramirez connected for a solo shot in the first inning, then belted a two-run shot, his 200th career home run in the third, and then added a solo in the sixth. Ramirez's first career three-homer game. Guardians went on to beat the Red Sox 10-3. How about in Atlanta? Ozzie Albies, a walk-off three-run homer in the 10th, capped off a huge Braves comeback. They beat the Mets 13-10. Mets, major league record, $355 million payroll. They've now lost six straight.
No doubt about that.
And in Philly, how about Roger Clemens' son, Cody, came through, game-winning walk-off single in the ninth. Phillies beat the Tigers 3-2. And look at that. There you go. National League champ now won five straight. All right, our Sunday night baseball matchup. The series finale between the Red Sox, the Yankees, Yankee Stadium, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Radio. Coverage begins at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, baseball tonight, and Sunday night countdown. All right, coming up, Graz is going to tell us why the Cowboys may not be in a rush to get a deal done with Dak. Will the Cowboys QB silences critics this season? That's next on Get Up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back here on Get Up, NFL, let's play a little game of better or worse. I got Graz, I got ARC. Graz, will the Giants be better or worse next season, you think?
This is tough for me. I got to say worse, even though I think big picture they're on the right track with Brian Daboll as head coach. It's just so much went right last year, in particular the health of Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, who have not been consistently healthy players throughout their careers. Counting on that again, I just think it's tough. They have a brutal-looking schedule. I think maybe a little bit of a step back this year before a step forward for the Giants.
RC, will your Steelers be better or worse next season?
You know, I'm not finna come on here and say worse about the Steelers. Listen, the Steelers ended up being 9-8 last year, and you watched them down the stretch, two hard-fought late wins against the Raiders and also against the Ravens, where we saw Kenny Pickett kind of start to mature. Defensively, you add something old and something new on the back end at the cornerback position, and I expect that the run game be more like we saw late last year than early. The Steelers would be a better team in 2023.
Roz, I'll be listening carefully. Yes. Will the Cowboys be better or worse next season?
I gotta say worse here too. They were a 12-win team, so they could be worse and still be good. I am skeptical about the change of offensive coordinator. I don't think letting Kellen Moore go and giving play calling duties to head coach Mike McCarthy was the right way to go for this offense. They could prove me wrong, but sitting here in June, it makes me worry a little bit about the Cowboys.
Let's talk a little bit about that, RC, and let's start because will Dak, in your opinion, silence the doubters, you think, this season?
No, because doubters will not be silenced. If you doubting, you doubting. Ain't nothing going to change that. The people that don't like the way that Dak Prescott plays football are not people who are simply doubting him from last year. These are the doubters that say Dak Prescott can't be a Super Bowl caliber or a Super Bowl winning quarterback. If you go back to 2019 and 2021, Dak Prescott was a top five quarterback in this league. I believe in 19 he had 30 touchdowns and only 10 picks. Then in 2021, 37 touchdowns, only 11 interceptions. Dak Prescott seemed to be ascending into that top tier. We think that the mean is not where he was last year. So even if he, quote unquote, regresses to that, he becomes a better quarterback than he was in 2022. If he backs off of the interceptions, protects the football, as we've known Dak Prescott to protect the football his entire career, he's better than what he was last year. But let's be real. This isn't about winning the NFC East. This isn't about being one of the seven playoff teams. For Dak Prescott, it's Super Bowl or bust. This is a team that with and under Jerry Jones wants to win the Lombardi, wants to get that opportunity to be in the Super Bowl on the big day. And Dak Prescott hasn't even sniffed that. So for him, it's about taking that next step as a quarterback and as a leader of an organization. And I don't believe until he does that, the doubters will ever be silenced. And I don't have the Cowboys as a Super Bowl winning team right now.
Basically, my man RC is saying haters are going to hate. So let's talk about money, because obviously there's a contract extension that could happen for Dak.
Right.
What's the sense of urgency from the Cowboys on that?
I don't think it's a real intense sense of urgency right now. His contract doesn't expire till after 2024. And while they could do an extension this offseason, and there has been some talk about it, they could also wait until next offseason. They already did a restructure to get cap relief for this year. So there's really no more cap savings they can get out of his contract this season. So really, unless Dak Prescott comes to them with a deal that they really like, I don't think the Cowboys are going to be in a rush to do it this offseason. They have more pressing extensions to do. C.D. Lamb and Trevon Diggs and Terrence Steele are all more front burner items for them at this point than Dak is.
Yeah, I love that. And we, of course, talk more about the Cowboys, talk more of football here as well. But it is time for this morning's wake-up call. Oklahoma softball wins its 53rd straight in three-peats. Here's ESPN's Beth Owens with the call.
Jordy Ball tries to go 5-0 at the Women's College World Series without surrendering a run. Struck her out! And Oklahoma caps off the winningest season in history with a seventh national championship.
Listen, the Sooners could not be stopped yesterday. They couldn't be stopped really all season long. Won 61 of their 62 games. Ended the season on a 53-game win streak. That's the longest in Division I history. Now that the season's finally over, Sooners head coach Patty Gasso, how you feeling?
I don't know how to explain it. I just can tell you the way I feel right now is free. Because the expectation is overwhelming. The pressure is overwhelming. Like, I just want to go to Costco and shop and no one care that I'm there.
I love that. Jessica Mendoza joins me. By the way, sneaky big news. I love Costco and I love going there. You can have lunch. You get samples. You get everything at Costco. So I'm with Coach there. So listen here, Jessica Mendoza. You were at the game. Give us your sense of what that moment was like for Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the celebration, but I mean, not only Patty Gasso showing the emotion, we had Jordy Ball, who got the most outstanding player. She was doing her interview with Holly Rowe in tears, but they weren't this tears of joy. It was a relief. I mean, this is historic. We are seeing something we have never seen in the history of this sport. You even think about women's sports, men's sports. What this team has done has put them on a stage like nothing that we have ever seen before. And because it's 3 years in a row of national championships, it's also 3 years in a row of fame, of having posters, I mean, going everywhere, the celebrations. But Jordy Ball, after the game, in tears, not even so much from joy, but of that relief. You just saw Patty Gasso talked about. We've been around this team a long time throughout the season, obviously this entire week, and the stress that they felt because of the pressure to be the greatest team. They know how good they are, but to actually win it and do it, I mean, you guys know this. It's one of the most difficult things you could have to do in all sports.
Listen, Jesse, you've won a gold medal. You've been to the Women's College World Series before. Can you put into words then how hard it is to win one championship, let alone three straight? Is this the best team you've ever seen?
I think it's the best stretch of team because, to be honest, this year's team wasn't the best team. They had the most balance, if that makes sense. Last year's team had Jocelyn Allo, who broke the all-time home run record. And they had Jordy Ball. They had the same team. But this year, they felt like they had to come back, but they didn't have the same players. In fact, half their team were transfers, were new players. They had to figure out a way to mesh, a way to do it, a way to get the job done. I mean, shoot, Jordy Ball struggled early in the season because it's her sophomore season after getting freshman of the year. She wasn't good early on. She was a mess. She was trying to figure it out. And then for them to piece that together, to bring it home, to know that they were good enough, even though they couldn't rely on the talent in the years past, that's what impressed me the most. Because I get it. Everyone expects Oklahoma to be the most dominant team because that is what they have been. But to continue to do that in this streak, 53 straight games, are you kidding me?
Unbelievable. Yeah, I'm with you, Jesse. Here, two-tier question as we walk out of here on this one. Number one, do you see them doing it again next season and doing four straight?
We're already talking about it.
And how does this thing, how do you think they compare to great college dynasties that we've seen in the past?
Yeah, I mean, it's Oklahoma's to lose from here on out. I'm interested to see how many players are still on this team. We see transfers like crazy. How much does this team change? And we're going to find out in the next few weeks. I think that's going to be the biggest storyline moving over. But if you look at all-time great dynasties, first of all, I'll take you back to UCLA Bruins and this sport alone and how dominant they were. They owned the sport. It just didn't get the same media attention. This team's better. But also the UConn women's basketball, right? We all can relate to that and how no one else could even show up and compare. The sport is like that right now with how dominant. This is a powerhouse power team. We've never seen anything like this, but especially because of the balance. The players that got it done to win the national championship with the bottom of their lineup. The top of their lineup was hitting 200. Wow. But the bottom of their lineup got the big home runs and brought it home.
That's fantastic. Jessica Mendoza, thank you. Appreciate your perspective.
Absolutely.
All right, coming up, paging playoff Jimmy. You know, do the Heat need a signature night from their biggest star? We're going to talk NBA Finals. That's next here on Get Up.